on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your Palace Pass Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check, here with some very, very brief thoughts on NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. It's not TakeOver, why did I say that? 2024. Gonna run through the results relatively quickly. We got a couple of quick newsworthy things, and then I'm gonna get ready for WrestleMania, which, as I'm recording this, starts in about 8 minutes or so, or at least the kickoff does. So, I thought it was a really good show. I thought it was fantastic. Looking show, the vibe was great. I thought it was really cool for them to bring Bad News Barrett back on commentary to join up with Booker T. A lot of people were saying, oh, it's a great show, but the commentary sucks because they're not taking it seriously. Wade Barrett and Booker T are both known for having fun on commentary, and Vic Joseph does a pretty good job of keeping them in line, so I don't think that's a thing whatsoever. It was broken up by a lot of previews for WrestleMania. I don't think that was necessary to stretch out the time. It didn't feel like a long show, but the previews for Stand and Deliver, the previews for WrestleMania on Stand and Deliver, I don't think they were necessary, because you're going to get way more people that are watching WrestleMania and skipping Stand and Deliver than the other way around. If anybody, we're in the day now. If anybody still needs to be sold on WrestleMania, they're probably not watching WrestleMania. That's a nitpick, though. All the video packages are great, but we're going to get those same video packages later on this evening / tomorrow. And we know what's going on. We don't really need any more. I do like, in general, I said this online, trudging through all the mess on X where other companies are definitely trying to make WrestleMania about them. One thing I did get a good conversation going on X about, I really love the fact that WWE is leaning back towards rock and roll music rather than poppy crap. Now I know there's some, I know The Weeknd are doing the WrestleMania theme again. I don't know whose skeletons they know about in what closet, but for the most part, the individual match preview packages, there are a lot of rock songs, and I like that, and that rock and roll and wrestling just works together. So we'll go through the matches. Gacy and Spears. Gacy won. Of course, he was going to win. Spears doesn't need to win just yet until he gets himself in a more prominent story. Ridge Holland, who retired a couple of weeks ago, attacked Gacy in the entranceway because he was part of the kickoff panel. This match took place on the kickoff, which I think is really, really unfortunate. We cracked him square across the back with a chair before he even got to the ring. Gacy basically crawled to the ring for the match. Still managed to put on a good match. I really like Gacy. Moves like a guy that is his size shouldn't, which is the theme for this weekend, I think. Sean Spears gave him a hell of a match. I still love having Sean Spears back in NXT. I don't think he needs to be pushed up to the top, but he's going to help a lot of people along the way. This is going to go on going forward. We're going to get a Gacy-Ridge Holland match. I'm assuming is going to link up somehow with Sean Spears, and then I think Gacy versus Spears is going to actually make it onto the card, maybe at Heatwave, hopefully at Heatwave, because I'll be there, and Sean Spears in Toronto will get a hell of a response. Awesome way to kick things off. Opening the show proper, you had the Wolf Dogs versus Axiom and Frazier, which I thought was really surprising, if you consider the fact that Braun Breaker has just moved up to the main roster and Baron Corbin's already a main roster guy. Axiom and Frazier are taking the belts off of them to solidify their move up to the main roster. Would have been a cool thing for them, but it was already surprising enough that they were in the match instead of the OC. It's a power versus speed match, where the speed guys were saying, we can do power stuff too, and the power guys were saying, we can do speed stuff too. Braun Breaker, as big and as powerful as he is, I was talking to our buddy Jake DeMarco, who joined me for the WrestleMania preview, so please check that out if you haven't already. Appreciate him, as always. But we both sort of mentioned, like, Braun Breaker, the way he moves doesn't really work. It looks like you're watching a video at, like, 2.5 speed, and him and Baron Corbin are not heels. They're not. People love them. People like Axiom and Frazier because they're flippy-dippy-doo-dah guys, and they do flippy-dippy-doo-dah stuff. If they had won, I would have been absolutely happy for them. It would have solidified Braun Breaker's move. We would have had a cool story of what does Baron Corbin do now, but I think we will get that in the future as well. Nice match. Another nice match. Fucking big guys. Gacy. The Wolf Dogs. And then the match I'm going to talk about next. But also, on SmackDown, at the end of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, it got down to Otis, Ivar, and Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed eventually getting the win, congratulations to him, doing ridiculous stuff. My theory, right now. And this is not a dig at indie fans. It's not even a dig at AEW specifically or anybody else. WWE is really going out of their way in the past couple of months to basically put the message out there that being a big guy in wrestling isn't a bad word anymore. If you remember back in the day, it used to be, oh, it was the WWE, you won't make it, they're dickheads, they only like giants and blah, 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 which obviously made the giants bad by association. You know, they're big, they're lumbering and they're slow and they don't really do anything. These are the exciting guys. Watch the little guys, watch the guys that look like they should be bagging your groceries at Target. WWE is doing a hell of a job to show you that big guy is not a bad word in wrestling anymore. Obafemi, Dijak, and Josh Briggs. Real cool coming out party for Briggs. Really like that a lot. He's broken out of the tag team. He's had a little bit of words of encouragement from JBL, which automatically turns people off of him. Dijak, people love, even though he tries to be a heel. He got cheered a lot. Briggs went more the heel route, but he got booed for breaking up counts in a triple threat match because he wanted to win the match, which was kind of weird. They had a big spot where Obafemi tossed Dijak into Briggs on a chair from the apron to the outside. It was ridiculous. And then Obafemi had, what was it, Josh Briggs on his shoulders, who had Dijak on his shoulders. And you figure he's going to flat back. And, you know, when you do a Tower of Doom, it's typically a flat back. It's typically like an electric chair. No, he went kind of sideways. So it was a triple Death Valley driver, which looked ridiculous. Obafemi is a machine. He's fantastic. He's still your North American champion. And this was a lot of fun. It really was. Big guys, you know, the big, Big E said it. Simon Miller from What Culture said it. They tried to rip it off in AEW, but the big meaty men slapping man meat match is awesome. And WWE are starting to clarify it and starting to be definitive about it. And you got guys like Dijak and Briggs who are looking small next to your brand new superstar, Obafemi, North American champion, etc. And this was huge coming out party for him. The guy's got star power written all over him as well. Briggs, in a little bit of a different way, coming out party for him as a singles guy, sort of a much smaller version of a Jey Uso type story. And Dijak survived being T-Bar, and he's still here. So, mucho, mucho respect for him as well. If they want to fast-track Obafemi to the main roster sometime this year, not saying they should, but if they do, either one of these guys picking up the North American Championship and running with it for a bit would be awesome. Roxanne Perez defeated Lyra Valkyria. They did a lot of arm stuff because that's been the story going on the whole time. Tatum Paxley got involved at one point, caused a distraction. They tried to do that wicked spot over the turnbuckle bolt, and Tatum Paxley stopped it. Tatum Paxley did cause the distraction, though. There was a bit more of a beatdown. Roxanne Perez did eventually get the win. Lyra, unfortunately, even though she was the babyface, Lyra was not the one that was received very well in this match. Everybody loves Roxanne Perez. It's really, really weird that they're playing her off as a heel right now. She got the win. She sort of broke character a little bit, you know, getting taken in by the moment, taken in by the victory. Really, really cool. Really happy for her. Ilya Dragunov versus Tony D'Angelo. Tony D looked way better in this match than I thought he would be. There was less shenanigans in this match than I thought there would be. In fact, he made a point when Stax tried to give him the brass knuckles. He said no. When Stax tried to get involved, when he was in trouble, he said no, this is my fight. They had a hell of a fight. Ilya Dragunov got the win with a H-bomb from the top rope. They shook hands respectfully after the match was over. The whole thing was great. I don't think that Tony D is going to stay in the title picture. I think he might get himself involved in the North American title picture as well. You get something really silly like Tony D'Angelo versus Obafemi. I'm going to watch that every day of the week. But I think the other focus on that is going to be Stax and Luca Crucifino going for those tag titles at some point, because at some point they do have to put Breaker and Corbin up onto the main roster and give those belts to somebody, and it ain't going to be the OC. I don't know what the OC are doing. I'm starting to think that the OC are going to get involved with the LA Knight match later tonight or tomorrow. I can't remember which night it's on. Go back and listen to my preview if you want to know which night it's on. Trick versus Mello, star versus star. What do you want me to say here? All this was insane. Ref bumps, low blows. The ref was told in advance to say, you know, we don't want a distraction. We don't want a count out. We need a definitive winner. Give them all the relaxation of the rules that they need. Which makes me kind of think that, like, why didn't they just make it a no DQ match? But it is what it is. These guys are both over as hell. Trick is the one that's over right now. Carmelo had his time and is kind of coming down from it, which is cool because he's going to the main roster eventually. This really disgusting knee shot from Trick Williams got the win for him. And the show goes off the air with everybody cheering for Trick, which is awesome. Carmelo Hayes was the bad guy, and the bad guy was foiled. Trick Williams was a feel-good win. As funny as it is to say, Roxanne Perez, even though she's the heel, was kind of a feel-good win. I think a lot of people are fine with Femi. That was a feel-good win. Axiom and Frazier would have made more sense, but everybody loves the Wolfdogs, so that was a feel-good win. Everybody's getting behind Joe Gacy, and that was a feel-good win. Also, the 3-on-3 women's tag was in there as well. I didn't put it in my notes because I'm a jackass. Thea Hale's team won because Thea Hale's awesome. The whole Chase U story, Fallon Henley, Kalani Jordan, all these upper-coming sort of mid-tier women's division talents that they have. They all had a good night. They all showed out. I still think Kiana James and JC Jane now are really, really underrated because they're in heel positions right now. But everybody showed up. It was a showcase for all of them. There was not as many stakes, per se, in the match, but it was just a showcase for, like, hey, here's our women's title match over here, and here's a bunch more members of our women's division over here, because we have a fantastic women's division, and we actually show them, unlike some other people. So let's talk about some of the news stories coming out of it. Big thing is, it was in the same building that SmackDown was in last night, and if you saw SmackDown, you saw that they had no Tron. They had the small little entranceway. I'm calling it the small screen flex. They did the small screen flex for NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver as well. Why do I keep saying TakeOver? Cool to see them do the small screen flex for an NXT show. Kind of ties into what the Metaphor came out to announce halfway through the show. Metaphor did a great job hosting the show, trying to get interviews and getting their asses kicked as, like, comedy heels. That was a lot of fun. Seeing them at the beginning dressed up as, like, people in Dijak's back room, and then people in Chase U, and then people doing this, that, and the next thing in Tony D's restaurant, etc., was fun. But they came out to announce the record-breaking NXT attendance of 16,545. Awesome. You love to see a nice full building, don't you? In the crowd, midway through the show, after the women's tag, we got a couple of different things. First of all, we got Ava in the back praising the women's division and announcing that very, very soon there will be an NXT Women's North American Championship, which is awesome for all the obvious reasons. Then we cut to the crowd and we saw William Regal, Rossi, who I still don't know who that is or the significance of that, so I'm not going to speak on it at the moment, but a lot of people are talking about it, and Julia, who's from New Japan or Stardom or something like that. Everybody wanted her. The other guys wanted her. We got her. She's landed in NXT, and that's awesome. Can't wait to see what she can do. Apparently, she's got trouble with English, but she's also working on it. I've seen some promos that have been posted on X with her cutting promos. I don't think there's much of a problem with that at all. So, great showcase for the ladies tonight. Great announcement for the ladies tonight. Great addition to the ladies tonight. Kind of a ladies' night for NXT. And all the other matches hit exactly where they needed to hit. Like I say, these are my quick thoughts. WrestleMania's coming on in like 20 minutes. So I'm going to leave it here. I'm probably going to have some more full thoughts for you guys later on down the line. But for right now, I've been Spaz, your YWC Reality Check. Subscribe up there. Talk down there. Start a conversation. Keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I'll talk to you later. That's what I'm doing right now.